We're joined in studio by local actress Sonia Meyer and director Patrick Hollerin. How are you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, a little late.
Yeah, this is the perfect cozy weather for this time of year.
And the snow is falling.
That's right. Patrick, you just came down from Aspen and we're reporting.
Yeah, I'd say a half an hour ago, they already had 4 inches on the ground up there. So.
That's exciting news. Winter is here.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about the Doyle and Debbie show. This is a comedy and it's a musical, the first Thunder River Theater's done in a few years at least, and it's intended for an adult audience. So where did this show come from and what inspired you to put it on?
Well, it was written by a gentleman by the name of Bruce Arntzen, and he is quite an accomplished musician. He has a little bit of a tendency to lean towards the country western style. This is not a spoof of country music, but it's definitely a fun take on it. It's kind of a throwback to the old Dolly Parton, Porter Wagoner era where the country duets were very popular, very famous with their TV variety series, et cetera, et cetera. So the plot line is that Doyle is trying to make a comeback, and he's enlisted his third Debbie to try and make this comeback. And the songs, the characters take quite seriously, but the audience will find them as anything but serious. So it's a little bit of a play on country-western duets, and I think the audience will have a lot of fun with it.
Wow. And Sonia, you've done musical pieces with the Thunder River Theater before. How do you feel about this particular role?
This role was really exciting at first because it introduced me in a new way to Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn and some of the old country western females vocalists that I didn't know I admired so much until this show brought them to light for me. There's a lot of messages in this show that are, I'll say interesting or confusing. You can take your pick. So it's kind of a tread delicately because we are playing it from a reality-based place. And so it's been really fun to find the comedy in that truth. So truth and comedy is very appropriate here in this show.
I saw that it's a three-actor piece. So we know there's Debbie and we know there's Doyle. Who's the third person?
The role is Buddy is his character name, and he is Doyle's longtime band leader and friend, so he's kind of been through the ups and downs of Doyle's career, and it's a really fun little role. The gentleman playing that, in fact, his name is Patrick Fagan. He's a very terrific musician, which the role requires, but it's also his first time on stage. In fact, I think when I talked to him at first, he said, I don't think I've been in a play since my fourth grade middle school play. So it's been really fun and exciting to watch him grow on stage and get excited about doing something like this.
Wow. And I met him doing ski school up at Aspen, so he's quite the shredder on skis as well.
Now, this is your first time directing with the Thunder River Theater Company?
That's correct. I've had a long time connection with them through my wife and through people who've worked there. I was the board president for a little over a year, but it's exciting. This is the first time I've been directly affiliated with any of the productions, so that's kind of a step into new waters for me, and I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Well, just to let listeners know, this begins next Friday, December 6th. There's a preview on the Thursday, December 5th, and then it'll be 3 weekends, ending on Saturday, December 21st. Sonia, I understand that you have a couple of songs prepared to sing. Give us a preview.
Yes, I think so. I'll sure try.
So we could start with, how about ABCs of Love?
Let's do it. AKA MVP, why are you AWOL from me? Your ETA, always the TBA, your X's and O's, always M-I-A-U. Mr. B-M-O-C, are you too busy to RSVP? How VIP of you to be? Are you F-U-B-A-R? I am GOP to your DNC. That's NFL, not PBS, on my HDTV. And FYI, you are too PC. Not NRA or CBN enough for me. AU.
Wow, Sonia, that was beautiful.
There's a whole lot of letters there.
Yeah, a few of those references went right over my head. Just a few.
Well, you have to buy two tickets. You'll get it the second time.
Great. So that's a little bit of that satirical kind of country.
That's obviously show. Kind of a spinoff on a Patsy Cline type ballad. But still a little bit tongue-in-cheek as far as the content of the song itself. So
there was a Tammy Wynette song called D-I-R-O-V, however you spell divorce. Yep, that was an old song that I learned that there's a lot of spelling in some country songs. So
wonderful. And so what's the context of that particular song in the play?
Well, Doyle says that I made this one up all by myself with a friend of mine at SMCC, the Smoky Mountain Community College, where I'm studying web design and web marketing. So this is a song where Debbie finally gets to show a little bit of what she's thinking. I think Debbie smiles a lot and puts on that Southern charm, but she's got a lot going on under the surface. So
yeah, Doyle tries his best to keep her under his thumb, but he's not very successful.
And who's the actor that's portraying Doyle?
His name is Chris Keener, and I worked with Chris, oh gosh, a couple of decades ago when we both worked at the Crystal Palace up in Aspen. And when this show came along, we started looking for someone that had the charisma and the musical talent to do that. And Chris's name came to light. We contacted him. He lives down in Denver in the Front Range, and he's coming up to do the show. Mm-hmm. We've tried to bunch our rehearsals more in like 3 and 4 day blocks throughout the rehearsal process so he could try and make his way back down to the Front Range and at least see his family once in a while before coming up. But it's really exciting to reunite with him, and I think you'll be really pleased with the result.
He's a hoot.
So when Babs and I were looking up a little bit of past productions to get an idea of the show, we noticed the costumes are pretty amazing in those productions. So we were wondering a little bit about the costuming for this show.
Well, China Kwan has been doing them, and she's terrific. And these characters really are going to step right out of some of those posters that you see with Porter Wagner, where you almost have to squint to look at his jacket and the big hats and the boots, and very country western fun. Debbie's just going to look like she stepped right out of a fancy hoedown, and it's very fun. So you have to have that kind of western, over-the-top western flavor to the costumes, and China's doing a great job on
She's
that.
She's making everything from scratch as well, so that's been exciting. She,
yeah. I think for Christmas we should have bought her a bespangler so she doesn't have to sew all those sequins and patches on everything, but it's going to be great.
Cool.
When I was watching it kind of reminded me of the vaudeville. Have you guys been to that before?
Yes, I performed at the vaudeville 2 winters ago, so I'm pretty familiar with the vaudeville.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, just like it seems like there's a lot of shenanigans. Like when we actually watched that video, it was the ABCs of Love, and what we got to see was while she's singing I think it's Doyle. He's just hanging out in the back and he's drinking and kind of not really paying attention and just seems to be pretty silly. And you could hear the audience laughing.
There's definitely some slapstick involved. Mm-hmm. However, as opposed to the vaudeville show, which is kind of one number at a time, each its own entity, this show really grows as far as the character relationships. Mm-hmm. Doyle on the surface would be a character you would swear you would never really like. But there's a real human side, vulnerability side to him that I think grows over the course of the show. So in that regard, it is more of a complete show rather than just a series of songs that are all put together. So I think as a package, it's a little bit different. But you're right, it is a big laugh and it is a lot of fun for audiences.
And I think it's an interesting production because it is that show within a show quality where we're putting on a concert, we're putting on a show that's supposed to be in a bar, but everything that is done throughout the show, you can see and watch from a different perspective than you would if you were just watching a duo play in a bar, because the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, quote unquote, is for you to see as well. So there's a lot of levels to, there's singing on the forefront, but you can see all the subtext as well.
That's fun. So you get to see how the dynamic of the trio
right
evolves.
The things that the real characters probably wouldn't want you to see, yes. Mm.
Fun. And so from what we saw, so it's like a stage. A lot of it's being performed like a play within a play, in a sense, on a stage. I was curious, how do you incorporate the round configuration of the Thunder River Theater, or do you do it just with three sides or one side or all four?
Well, for this production, we're going to do it three-sided, so it's mm-hmm. kind of a semi-thrust stage. Right. Because, again, for the format of the show, where it is kind of a proscenium production, they're supposedly in a smoky bar in Nashville actually doing this show, then it really wouldn't make sense to do it in the round, and you'd be staring at people's backs through a lot of the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that regards, it does sort of surround the sides of the stage, but we will be doing it as a three-quarter stage.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, we're going to have tables where people can sit and maybe have a beverage and
that's correct.
See the show in more of a cabaret style like we've done for other diva cabarets, which are held at Thunder River as well.
And those tables will be set up as part of the set with something along the lines of a calico tablecloth. And so Doyle and Debbie will actually be relating to the people sitting in those front tables because they are actually supposed to be their audience. So, wow. And that's kind of a fun crossover as well.
And then they get the sense that they're in that smoky bar in Nashville right there.
Yeah, we're not going to put any peanut shells all over the floor, but along those lines, yes.
Very cool. Well, we have another song queued up if you'd like to sing it. This one's For the Children.
For the Children. What do we say to the children? To lead the way for the children. You can sing them stories and sing them songs, but they still, what they know is wrong. What do we say to the children? Don't you do it for the children. Whoa, 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 won't you do it for the children.
No, it can't be easy to just jump in the middle of a song like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was going to be the last half of the song. Yes. So right. it's hard to take it out of sequence, but she did a great job.
Which brings us to an important point. We wanted to skip the first half as it does have some inappropriate lyrics. And there was a warning on the website about this particular show that it is intended for adult audiences.
And yet we don't want to misconstrue it as being totally body and X-rated. It's not at all. It's just probably inappropriate for younger children. So it's nothing that's going to be too offensive, but we're hoping it's, in an occasion, a little offensive. So.
Right. Just touching that border.
Yeah, exactly. Playing
riding
the edge of the envelope.
Line.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
So did you have to push yourself as a singer to reach ranges or styles that are new to you, Sonia, or is this
well
very
the funny thing
similar?
Is I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I went to school in Oklahoma City, which was a big jump for me culturally. And my first professional job in college was at Frontier City, which was a theme park, a country western theme park, and I sang in a show called Country Unleashed every day for the months of April to August. So I got really used to singing country, and I had absolutely never sung country before. So bringing the show up has brought back some of those memories, but I also have studied a lot of those old school singers and female vocalists that I mentioned before, especially Dolly Parton. But I think that there is so much in country music, and Ken Burns just put out an amazing documentary on PBS that I've been able to watch as well. And it's been really exciting for me. My training is actually in classical music, opera, and musical theater. So this role has been super fun to get to dive into this sort of nasal sound, yodeling. And Debbie has quite a range of low and high and fast and slow. And it has actually been really fun for me to play with all these styles, and I've been listening to a lot of country music.
Very cool. And is there anything you hope people take away beyond laughs? Obviously people are going to enjoy themselves and have a good time. Is there?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. As you watch the show, you'll see that Doyle and Debbie probably don't represent anybody that you would meet on the street today. You wouldn't think. But some of the things they represent, some of the ideas that Doyle still believes in, are probably very contrary to what modern society would necessarily think you want to be. But I also think it kind of points out that this country hasn't completely gotten it there. There's still some misogyny. There's some bigotry. There's some, intolerance of other people that is displayed in a fun and entertaining way. But I think those would probably be the underlying messages as to where are these characters coming from and where did they come with this mindset and how do I feel about that? Is it just funny or does that kind of bother me a little bit, or where does this go? And I think if we just leave people with a big smile on their face and kind of thinking about that as they leave, I think we've done our job.
I think there's a lot of lines in this song or in this show where you just have to go, ooh, because for me, there are a lot of offensive lines and there are a lot of offensive things that these characters do. And I will say, I'm not ashamed to say, but I am very far from Debbie's political ideas, and that still doesn't make her an evil person. And I think that's one thing that I take away with it, is that these people, because of their education, because of where they are, maybe they have not had the same privilege that we have in other areas of the country, and this is their reality, and that they are real, and I don't agree with them, but we still can find the humanity in them.
I think the audience will find it fascinating. The show was actually written in 2011. I think many of the songs were written prior to that, mm-hmm. and he compiled them into a show in 2011, but that was 8 years ago. And as you hear this show, you're going to see not a whole lot has changed in those 8 years. It's still extremely applicable to the different points of view in this country.
And some of it's gotten worse.
So what would you say to someone I won't say like me, but maybe like me that doesn't listen to a lot of country, what would be another reason to come to this show if you're, even if you don't care for that genre?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I never listened to country, and I find these songs fascinating. I think lyrically they're really interesting. I think there's a lot of great harmonies, and it's not the country that you would necessarily hear on the radio today. I think it is an older style of country, which has a lot of banjo and fiddle and guitar and drums and this really fun honky-tonk sound. And the vocals are going to be awesome, if I do say so myself. But I think that style is not necessarily the typical, if you turn on country music on your radio, it's not going to be all of that more modern country. It's got a lot of really fun sound, the yodeling and the speed and the, and there is a variety as well.
And I wouldn't call myself a jazz fan, but I watched Ken Burns' series on jazz and was fascinated. You learn a lot about it. You become a little bit more appreciative of jazz. And I think I listen to it in a different way. And people might have that same effect when they listen to this. They may not like it. They might not enjoy it. But I think they'll definitely find an understanding and appreciation and even in a historical perspective of where this music came from and why such a huge population were drawn to that kind of music. I think at the very least you'll see that. So,
mm-hmm. And what's the time period that it takes place? You mentioned 2011 is when it was written.
It was written in 2011. We're playing it as current day.
Okay.
Which means Doyle should be about 95 probably if he was a star in the 60s, 70s. Now we're obviously not playing it quite that old. But even country western duets were actually popular way into the 90s. Mm-hmm. So the thinking is that they were big. He was big in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Then he kind of had a 15-year drop off the map, and now here he is present day trying to make a comeback with this style of music. So we do play it present day, but his style and his particular Doyle and Debbie show is placed in the past, and he's trying to bring that back.
And there is mention to old Philco radios and old radio stations and some of the old country stars and country legends.
We discussed that. We thought there's a, you know, do you want to try and place this in the 90s? And, you know, it just didn't really make any sense because the entire premise of the show still holds true today. And to try and place it in the 90s, it just doesn't make any sense or anything. So I think that it still fits very properly with today.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, we are about out of time. Is there anything else that anyone would like to add before we wrap up?
No, just come see it. I think you'll enjoy it. Don't wait till the last weekend either. It's not a big theater and it usually sells out. So get your tickets and come early.
Yes. And it's one act. So you kind of come in and come out and you get a great quality show without feeling like you've spent your whole night.
No 4-hour musical.
Yeah, not a 4-hour musical. It's a great amount, perfect amount of time.
Great.
It's not like the Avengers where you have to like plan your bathroom break. Like
that. That's correct. Well, you got to plan it, but you got to plan it before it starts.
Well, Sonia Meyer and Patrick Holleran, thank you so much for stopping by Express Yourself once again. The Doyle and Debbie show is premiering on December 6th. There is a preview the night before December 5th. That's a Thursday, and then it will continue 3 weekends and end on Saturday, December 21st.
We can't thank you enough for letting us come in and joining you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in to express yourselves and share about this great show.
All righty.